Okay, are you all back?
Yep.
I apologize for not doing that earlier so that everybody could hear Mark's summary of the EE Summit and the introduction to the tri-agency meeting, but I assume that we'll get back to some of those next week when some of the other people are back from the tri-agency meeting. Another thing that I wanted to ask everybody is I have gone online and found the time that Earth, the Operator's Manual, is going to be showing on Sunday here in Denver, and it's really late at night, like 10:30 to 12:30 or 1 a.m. or something. And a friend told me that he'd gone and looked in several other places, and it was scheduled as late as 3 a.m. on some channels. Have any of the rest of you done that?
No.
I'm wondering if that's typical or whether that's just a really small sampling. Anyway, I encouraged this friend who was really ticked off about it to call the station and let me know, you know, where to complain and ask for a rebroadcast at a better time. But I forward that information to folks in a local network, and I'm hoping that everybody will do that to the degree that it's possible.
Yeah, I'm assuming that they'll have the clips online, too, before too long.
Oh, right. That's a good point. I'd forgotten.
But they certainly have the first episodes all online with curriculum and annotated script.
Yep.
And so I'd be very surprised if they're not working on that now.
Right. Good idea. Alan and Kristen, do you have any updates?
No.
No.
Been working with Karen a little bit. I assume we'll talk about that. Otherwise, just plugging on forward here. Spring's here early in Minnesota.
I should be at the tri-agency.
Yeah, you should.
Because of the Lifelines for High School Climate Change Education, but have a conflict, so our evaluator is there representing us. I've been bugging them about getting remote attendance, you know, system remote attending.
That'd be nice.
They haven't done it. The only thing they have is some electronic posters. You know, with the posters that we made, you, in theory, can see electronically from somewhere, but nothing in terms of actually viewing, which I think is a sort of a, I don't know, for a tri-agency conference on climate change, I view it as a defect.
Yeah, you would think that that would be a no-brainer.
Yep, I agree.
And the fact that the National Research Council has been doing it leads me to believe that there's the capacity to do it within the realm of, well, NOAA has done it from Denmark.
Yeah.
They do have.
Yeah, I don't know what the problem is.
They do have monthly telecons for the PIs.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a regular part of the program. With usually three or four presentations by PIs about what they're up to. But apparently for the annual meeting, they don't have that part together.
Hmm. Well, that's a good idea, Alan. You mentioned high school, and I'm wondering if you and Kristen might be interested or already know about the youth policy summits there. I got an advertisement this morning that they're recruiting students now. It's a program hosted by the Keystone Center to look in depth at various environmental issues with groups of motivated 11th and 12th grade students. And it's a leadership development as well as collaborative and probing issues kind of week-long session or four-day session that my familiarity with it is that I'm on the Keystone Center board, and we've heard the evaluation reports from the project evaluators and gotten overviews of the programs. So I'm wondering if you have channels through which you might be able to forward the availability of this summer kind of learning opportunity.
Yeah, I'm on their hit list somehow, but I had forwarded it on to our youth programs director, because we definitely have a youth network that may be interested. We're actually doing something on a much smaller level here in a couple weeks for about 100 kids in Minnesota, focused more specifically on youth climate and energy policy.
Uh-huh.
Doing a summit with some kids that are in our program here. So that might be a great place to let them know more about this as well.
Great.
Yeah.
I have a channel, an email list, and so forth in there. Likewise, we have a sort of a local event that's happening. But where is this, or is it?
They're in various venues around the country. And I need to read to you the information on the flyer, but let's see. There's one in New York. There's one here in Colorado. There. Just a minute. I'm opening up the file here now. And there's one in Denver itself. There's one up in the Great Lakes. There's one in the Southeast. So they address regional issues as well as broader issues like urban sustainability is one of them, energy infrastructure. And
no.
So I'll forward it to you, and you can take a look at it and see if it might be appropriate to forward to your networks.
Okay, that sounds good.
Great. Tamara asked me to remind everybody that the AGU session proposals are due April 20th, and I think she was able to organize the overarching pieces that we've talked about on previous discussions, previous calls. So I guess before we go on to the NAAEE conference, I just want to ask if anybody has any questions about the AGU meeting and the proposals.
No, I'm actually going to be submitting a union session proposal that's focused on dealing with denial and deliberate misinformation relative to science in general and climate and evolution in particular.
Good.
So that's okay. A little outside the climate literacy focus, but obviously related.
But related, yep. Okay.
I actually looked at the titles of the sessions and couldn't see where my program fit in, so I was a little bit stymied. But
this is for the AGU meeting, or
yeah, I think it was.
For the high school, you're talking about your high school learning module, the Lifelines.
Yeah.
Because I know there's a. The K-12 education Linda Morris is leading that, and I'm working with her a little bit on it, is the convener on it, and it's still in development as far as the description of it. So if you have ideas about ways that would sound more welcoming for your program, you should let her know, too. I don't think the description is written yet or anything, but it's the one that's focused more specifically on K-12 climate literacy.
Now, this is a session that you're talking about? Which is
Are you talking about the environmental education? Maybe you're talking about NAAEE, which definitely does not seem like a place where it is difficult to figure out where to fit in those descriptions.
Maybe I'm confusing the two. AGU. But if AGU proposals are due, is it just for the session descriptions then?
Yeah. The abstracts aren't really until August.
Okay.
So there should be plenty of time for that.
Okay. I won't worry about that. It was probably the NAAE that I was couldn't see where to fit in.
Okay, well, let's go on to NAAE then. And I hope, since it's out there in the Bay Area, we'll be able to find a place that it would fit. Can you give, Mark, I don't know if you're familiar with Alan's program, are you?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, and Alan and I had lunch just last week, as a matter of fact.
Oh, great. Well, I guess for my benefit then, since I'm the odd man out, can you give me just a sentence or two, Alan?
There's two different areas that I could pursue. One is the NASA-funded project, which is Lifelines for High School Climate Change Education, which is to establish professional learning communities of high school teachers to figure out how to best teach climate change in their courses, the courses
mm-hmm.
that they already teach, not to develop any new course or anything like that,
mm-hmm.
But establish communication. The project that got the grant is called Global System Science, and that's...
Oh, and I'm familiar with that, yeah.
Yeah, that's what I'm... And so that's more the curriculum.
And is that going through a revision or just further dissemination or...
That is, it's in terms of the grant project, it's just one of the resources that can be used by teachers. But now that you mention it, it has undergone the climate change book specifically. There's about 12 different books in the series, but the one that concerns climate change explicitly, we just have been revising in the past few months, and it's up online now. Pretty much revised.
Great. Well, I have two immediate responses, and I'm sure Kristen and Mark have some suggestions too. But as I look at the strand descriptions, what I would suggest is for green schools, part of the, I don't know how familiar you are with the criteria for the Department of Ed selection of green schools, but one of the major categories to qualify as a green school is curriculum. Mm-hmm. That you have to have programs that address sustainability and, you know, all the trade-offs and so forth required in the curriculum itself of the green school, as well as the practices of energy conservation and recycling and so forth in the functioning of the school. And so I would suggest that you submit the Global Systems Science program as a curricular component for green schools.
That sounds like a good idea.
And you can name it, it meets, I'm looking it up right now, it's like pillar number 3 of the Green Ribbon Schools guidelines, because there's pillars that they had to establish as a national Green Ribbon School, and it was net zero environmental impact was pillar 1, positive impact on health and performance was 2, and then pillar 3 is 100% of the school's graduates are environmentally and sustainably literate. And that's the U.S. Department of Ed's Green Ribbon Schools program.
Oh, okay. That's very
helpful.
And
then you would sound really smart.
Right. And know exactly what you're talking about.
Exactly.
And if you look at the Green Schools strand description on the NAAEE website, it says that they want to hear about practices in achieving green schools, including engaging curriculum that incorporates environmental literacy and education for sustainability.
Okay, I see where I fit in.
So I think for the Global Systems Science program, that's a good fit.
Yeah. There's no excuse for me not to be at this conference.
That's true.
Besides the fact that it's in Oakland.
Yeah.
Right.
So, they did talk quite a bit yesterday. Arnie Duncan brought it up, and then in the session in the afternoon, another guy from Department of Education talked in more detail about the Green Ribbon Schools. And there's also a Texas Green Ribbon Schools program that is different you know, it's also about energy efficiency and healthy living and all that, but it's a bit less rigorous, I think, from in terms of the science involved. But they've got, the Texas version has something like 600 schools signed up. Department of Ed program, evidently they're going to announce soon, like in the next week or so, the winners of this past year, the past round of competition. And they did say that what surprised them is that, you know, some of the schools are from top-notch, you know, affluent school districts, but there's also some surprises of very low-income schools that did incredible things. So that was kind of some good news.
I was on the review panel for the Colorado applications, and each state was asked to submit 4 applicants.
Right. Right.
And we had to include one that was a low-income school.
Uh-huh.
We had to include one that was a private school. And since Colorado didn't receive any private applications, we could only submit 3.
Uh-huh.
But we had some tremendous applications. So
it'll
be good to hear the winners,
and, uh-huh.
because they're really inspiring examples. And I think that's the value of this kind of program.
Mm-hmm.
And very different. I was on the panel here in Minnesota, and we had some they were just very different, the applications, too. Some of them were able to hit all 3 of those pillars very mm-hmm. strongly, and some of them, I had no idea these schools even existed in our state, you know, this gold lead certified, like, where is this place?
Right, and even the ones that had that named a lot of curricular activities that they did, they were mostly field trip and sort of extracurricular, and mm-hmm. there was only one in the pile that I reviewed that really had a strong classroom curricular base to the whole program. So that's why I really want to encourage you, Alan, to present that, because I think there's a desire and a need to find those kinds of really high-quality curricula like yours.
Okay, I just downloaded the proposal form.
Great. And then on your networking one, I would encourage you to submit something under, there's a strand category called Networking and Leadership Development.
Okay.
And I think that's where your high school teacher professional development network goes.
Oh, okay.
And I would, you know, it probably doesn't merit a full 40-minute proposal or something, but the lessons that you've learned from that and how you've set it up and so forth, I would suggest you submit it as a 20-minute presentation and or a poster or something, just so you can let people know what you're doing.
Mm-hmm. Okay, that sounds good. Thanks for the...
Sure.
For the advice.
So, Karen, you were mentioning that only one of the schools submitted for Colorado had a strong curricular component,
mm-hmm.
right? Was there any explicit focus on climate?
There was not. It was a elementary middle school, and they were focused primarily on conservation of resources and within the school and the community, and developing action skills. They had kids doing an incredible amount of inventorying. They, you know, the older kids were inventorying the energy use in the building. The younger kids were doing some survey kinds of stuff. But they were building all sorts of action skills in their kids, and they have a school garden.
Mm-hmm.
And the cafeteria uses the school garden. So it's really an integrated program, but for younger kids.
Right. What about you, Kristen?
Yeah, I'm just looking now at the 3 that we sent. It's interesting. The 3 that we sent were also small elementary schools, and none of them are climate focused. Although, once again, you know, there's a focus on efficiency in the school. One of them is tied very strongly to the nature center that's close by, and they have a real mm-hmm. focus on outdoor learning, and actually the other 2 as well. But then the 4 schools that were finalists here, are 2 of them actually are more focused on climate, I would say, and they're more at the high school level. But they're all magnet schools, for the most part, that mm-hmm. have an environmental or STEM focus.
Uh-huh. Hmm.
Interesting.
Yeah.
But I fully believe from all of my interactions that the need to know about the good high quality curricula that have been developed is huge in the NAAEE audience.
Yeah,
you know the any proposals that are concerned with energy,
mm-hmm.
that is intrinsically climate. Focus.
Right.
Even if it doesn't say that it's climate focused, it's so at the core that you know that it almost climate is almost superfluous.
That's right.
So
I fully agree with you. And for some learners, I think that's a much more compelling, graspable kind of area of learning.
Yeah, although, so Michelle Fox from Department of Energy at the meeting yesterday at the White House brought up the energy literacy framework, which, mm-hmm. you know, she was kind of proudly waving around. And the guy who's moderating the session seemed puzzled. It's like, what does energy literacy have to do with environmental education?
Who is the moderator?
I probably shouldn't say. I can't remember. It was
I'm gonna look it up. Don't worry, the information's out there somewhere.
Kristen will spread the word.
And Kristen, thanks for sending around this blog posting about the meeting and you know the elephant in the room.
Yeah, but I was happy to find that. I hadn't seen any good summation of it yet.
The elephant they're talking about in the blog is the fact that there's no funding, or in fact that the funding has been cut for environmental education for in the next budget. But the other elephant was climate. Climate just was not explicitly mentioned really at all, except as something really gloomy that nobody really wants to talk about.
Yeah, I fully expect at your tri-agency meeting there will be a lot of funding discussions because it seems to me all those agencies are getting told either not to spend money on climate change or to cut it.
Yeah, I know. Terrible.
So, Mark, have you thought about your proposals for the conference, for the NAAEE conference going
back? No, I've just been so consumed with other things, and your guidance would be appreciated. I'm not quite sure what to do other than to...
Well, you're right there, so...
Yeah, I know. We definitely will be there and probably have a booth.
Oh, good.
Beyond that, our sort of ecological niche is fairly unique in the sense of, you know, NCSE mainly focusing on defending the teaching of good science and evolution and climate change in particular.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have any thoughts on how best to
well, let's
fit within those
the strand guidelines.
The strands, yeah.
Let's just brainstorm it more largely than just me. Maybe Kristen and Alan can.
Yeah.
Climb in too.
Well, probably similar to the guy what you told me about, and that is, what the National Center for Science Education does is try to put out fires and provide information to people who need it who are running into problems. So
that
comes under networking and leadership development.
Goes
into that strand quite easily.
Well, and Karen, we talked a little bit about in our proposal.
Mm-hmm.
Mark, we had talked about bringing together a number of people to give some short snippets about how they are approaching climate literacy.
Mm-hmm.
And in this funny named style called Pechacucha. Perhaps you've heard of it.
No.
Well, I had to do a presentation last week, and it's essentially you have 6 minutes, 40 seconds. You get to choose 20 slides that are rolling every 20 seconds.
Those are fun.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, they're hard for academics, I find.
Yeah.
They need control.
Yeah.
But I really enjoyed it, actually. But within a symposium really focused on how EE and climate change education, how EE can inform climate change education, which is actually what we were just talking about before this, you know, the elephant in the room. And how different, giving some snapshots of how different people are supporting climate literacy. And NCSC's piece, really, I see that, you know, you have your broad strokes, but also specifically just the understanding that there's bad, quote, curriculum out there.
Yeah, well, that's for sure.
How do you distinguish and the need for a real critical media and scientific literacy?
Yeah, good. That's very helpful.
And that, of course, being done in 6 minutes and 40 seconds. So,
with 20 slides, 20 seconds
with 20
each.
Slides.
You know, there is another strand here that is called socio-ecological education. I don't know what is that? I mean, I'm not familiar with the term. I mean, does that have to do with what national science educate, well, wait a minute, NCSE NSCE is about?
I my take on that strand, and Mark, if you don't have it up in front of you, the one-liner is exploring the vital connections between societal, cultural, and environmental concerns, integrating education and activism.
Mm.
And my take on that strand is based on my knowledge of Sandy Funke and PETA White, who are the organizers for the strand. And they're really into diversity, reaching diverse audiences, and integrating all of those components into the education approach. So if Mark were to talk about as you know, some of the ideas that Kristen was suggesting, looking at a critical eye of how you judge the quality of resource materials and media reports, and an approach that's appropriate for audiences of diverse socioeconomic backgrounds, it might fit there.
Yeah. I mean, I guess my take on socioecology is that it's also kind of a more political focus on
activism,
activism, but also the root causes of exploitation of nature.
Mm-hmm.
You know, in the sociology world, it probably is focused a lot on the evils of capitalism and so forth. I think that it sounds interesting, but the networking and leadership does sound like the strand that really is the best fit for us. How do we help people, you know, identify the best resources and so forth? Do you know which one which strand Clean is going to be going for?
Tamara is going to submit a separate proposal about Clean, just explaining explaining Clean, introducing
right.
Clean. And then she's also doing a Climate Literacy Network roundtable session proposal.
Okay.
And in the symposium that Kristen mentioned, that Kristen and Frank Meepold and I are organizing, it's sort of a follow-up to the symposium that we did last year on controversial issues, and we're zeroing in more directly on climate change education this year. And so there might be a role for you to do one of these brief overviews from the perspective of NCSE.
Okay.
That as well.
Yeah, that sounds interesting. So how do I find out more, or
well, we're in the process of submitting the proposal for that.
Okay, all right.
It needs attention this week, obviously, with the deadline being April 25th, I think it is. Is that right?
Yeah, that's right.
That's coming right up next week. So Kristen and Frank and I are wrapping that up this week. We've got sort of general agreement on the description of the symposium itself, and now we have to define the niches of the participants in it. So you'll be hearing more from us shortly. Keep an eye on your email if you're interested.
Okay.
And I'm happy to hear that you're going to think of doing an exhibit, Mark, because I think that would be great exposure, too, for your organization.
Yeah, I haven't seen any details about exhibits yet. But
I think I noticed the information about it on the website yesterday, but I'm not positive. But I think they have that up now.
All right.
And I'm wondering, Alan, if your organization might be interested in an exhibit, because you have just a world of curricular resources.
Yeah.
Does your organization do exhibits at conferences?
Well, not very much. I mean, the big projects at Lawrence Hall of Science have commercial publishers.
Uh-huh.
The commercial publishers do booths. At NSTA.
At NSTA, like, yeah.
But Lawrence Hall of Science rarely has a booth.
It's interesting because NAAA tends to be the business focuses, but it's really very heavily resource focused, I would say, in comparison with other conferences.
It's not the size of NSTA with 15,000 or so people. It's more on the 1,000 people order of magnitude.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, really? I thought it was bigger than that.
Well, I think the last few have been in the 1,000 to 1,500 range.
Oh, all right.
That's about like regional NSTA these days.
Yep.
Hmm.
Yep, so it's much more friendly and, you know, you have a chance to really find people and talk with them.
I'll look into it.
What I'm thinking is sometime in the last few years, the OBIS activities have been repackaged, and I think Lawrence Hall did that directly, right?
Yeah, uh-huh. They're working on that now. In fact, I'm sharing an office with the person who's working on it.
Uh-huh.
And I'm working for the FOSS group that developed it originally.
Okay. Yep.
So yeah, I'll check with Karen. She's.
But I think those kinds of resources would be really welcomed by the NAAEE audience.
Yeah, I think Karen probably knows about it, but I'll check and make sure.
Good.
And I'll mention the idea of a booth. The FOSS project actually hosts an annual event in the Bay Area called the Bay Area Environmental Education Resources Fair, Bear Fair.
Bear Fair, yes.
And they organize it, basically. They started it and organize it. So, I might talk to Linda DeLucchi about that, too.
Is Linda still around?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Oh, good. It'd be fun to see her again.
Yeah. I'll talk with her.
Is Larry still there?
Yeah. Well, he's retired, but he's still working.
Of course.
He's retired, but he's still working.
Yep. I know the story.
I'm about to do that myself.
Great. Okay, well,
They should change it from retirement to entirement. Anyhow.
It's being redefined in many different ways. Okay, any other questions? Or I sent out, and I think you've all gotten in your inboxes at least the list of proposals that I know of so far with Don Duggenhaus and Tamara
right.
and Department of Energy. So I'm hoping that that will stimulate and our conversation will stimulate more ideas submitted by this group and by others who weren't able to be on the call today, too.
So I just see Lynn Chambers walking by looking lost.
Good. Go find her. Well, have a good meeting, Mark.
Yeah, likewise. Or I mean, we'll update you next week.
Good.
Okay. Thanks a lot.
Thank you.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Bye.